Ben, one thing that is not mentioned in the book, The Seven Effective Ways to Win Friends and Influence People, there's actually an eighth point to that. And that point is to wear an ugly Christmas sweater t-shirt that depicts a historic figure in U.S. history. It is the best way to influence people this December.
Yeah, really. And, you know, people might, you might even be just walking down the street and people will see your ugly Christmas sweater t-shirt and they'll just start handing you money. It's weird how it works. I mean, I don't want to promise anything, but if you're wearing one of our t-shirts, people might just hand you money.
Economy, baby. Economy. If you head over to electioncollege.com/Christmas, you will be transported virtually to our Amazon web store. And in our Amazon web store, we have some fabulous designs this year. And, you know, go there, pick one up for yourself, pick up three for your friends, and maybe one for your mom.
Election College, episode number 241. Reconstruction, part two.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
So during the Civil War, there is this huge push by people in the North saying that fighting for the Union, that is a super great thing. We should fight for the country. We should fight to keep the Union together. Let's end slavery. But after the war, the North is like, okay, we won. But President Johnson, he's like really going gung-ho about this stuff. And we're kind of worried that maybe the Confederates are going to, you know, come back. The South will rise again, perhaps, and that we could have a pretty big problem on our hands. So they really start seeking out someone who could be president, who would go in and represent them well. And in 1868, the Republicans, keep in mind, Johnson is no longer president at this point. Republican, or he's not going to be president. Republicans unanimously choose Ulysses S. Grant to be the candidate for the Republican Party. And he came in, decides, hey, Edwin Stanton, you were an okay guy. I'm not going to listen to you, but why don't you go ahead and still be Secretary of War? And, you know, this is going to get him a lot of points with a lot of radicals.
Yeah, so Grant, very much of the opinion that slavery is morally wrong. He supports the Reconstruction Acts that were passed by the Radical Republicans. He gets inaugurated in 1869, and he's like, hey, Congress, readmit Virginia, Mississippi, and Texas. Come on, put them in. And he meets with some African-American leaders, and he signs a bill into law which guaranteed equal rights to blacks and whites in Washington, D.C. And he is doing all kinds of work on the federal level to ensure equality for all. And one of the biggest things was a series of criminal codes which protected the African-American freedmen's right to vote and to hold office and to serve on juries and to receive equal protection under the law. And the biggie here was that the federal government could intervene when states did not act. So the Justice Department under Grant prosecutes thousands of members of the KKK, which was really all over the place, lynching people, hanging people. They even killed a congressman from Alabama. And in 1875, Congress passes the Civil Rights Act, which gives people access to public facilities regardless of race. Now, you would think New York City, that's a northern city, right? Seems to be a pretty diverse atmosphere. Well, this was a Democratic stronghold, and they did not necessarily like the policies of Grant and the radical Republicans. What does Grant do? He sends in tens and thousands of armed, uniformed federal marshals to regulate the 1870 election and elections after that. So Democrats, both in the North and in the South, don't care for him. But Grant, for as much of a controversial presidency that he had because of people surrounding his administration, he was all about getting people the right to have equality and equal protection under the law here.
Yeah, and even more interesting than that, which pretty stinking interesting that a president would take those measures during this time in history especially, but the Republican Party elects a bunch of different African Americans to different offices in local governments, state governments, national governments, and you know, they certainly didn't take over the majority or anything. They didn't have any electoral votes swings or anything like that. But this, Matt, you know, this is a huge deal. This is, you know, at the beginning of 1867, there are no African Americans in the South holding political office. But within about 4 years, about 15% of all office holders in the South were African American. And this is actually, you know, even high percentages for 15 years ago, 20 years ago, something like that. So you can really imagine what kind of an impact that had, that quickly, a turnabout of these individuals are working as slaves, many of them. Some of them were free before the war, but they still didn't have any standing in society. Now they're elected officials.
Yeah. And then religion plays a big role in all of this. You have large denominations being formed, such as the African Methodist Episcopal Church. So we still know them. The AME Church is still around and still very powerful. But the ministers, the African American population really encouraged their ministers to get active, and the ministers in turn encouraged the congregants to get active and really paved the way for social movements that would affect. So these religious denominations that sprung up as a result really paved the way for activism and making African Americans have a voice in the midst of organizations like the Ku Klux Klan. And Northern congregations would send missionaries to the South to help freedmen have more of a chance to have a normal life, as much as a normal life as an emancipated slave could have.
Yeah, and so there's all sorts of social changes happening. There's all sorts of political changes happening. But another change that happens, and we don't think about, well, I'm sure some of us think about the money that's involved in Reconstruction, but this really changes for the South especially. You know, we've got the property tax. And in the South, if you're a wealthy landowner, you can self-assess the value of your land. And, you know, this is, I think we can all immediately see the problem here. If you've got a lot of land that's going to cost a lot of money, you're probably not going to assess it as highly as you should. And so, you know, before the war, especially, property tax collections were vastly misrepresented and not paid the way they should have been. But on the other hand, when they had slave auctions, they had fees and different sales taxes and things like that that benefited the state. So a lot of people just kind of turned a blind eye to it and didn't really push the issue of the property tax too hard. And so after the war, that kind of changes, and some systems are put in place to make sure that the properties are taxed the right way, and the rates are raised as so to gain enough money to build the infrastructure of the area back up. And well, no one likes it really, but it gets pushed through, and that's how a lot of it was funded, especially in, you know, those southern states, South Carolina and Mississippi, and some of the ones that saw the biggest hits in Georgia. And so, yeah, it was quite the tax increase, you could say.
Yeah. And so back to the whole racial front of what was happening all across the country, you had violence springing up, not only in the South, but in the North as well. And this caused a lot of factions among the parties. So even the Republicans, by the time Grant was winding down his presidency, he was losing some of his support among Republicans, including the radical Republicans, because, you know, he was either not doing enough or he was dealing with certain scandals in his administration, which we covered before, and we might talk about again when we talk about Grant here in a soon to be released podcast episode. But in the South, especially, the Republicans splinter, and there is no longer this united front, and the Republicans are losing clout, and the Democrats, the old "the South will rise again" type mentality, really becomes the status quo in the South. And the Democrats start taking seats. The white political leaders, wealthy white influential property owners, begin to take back control of the South, and violence starts happening. You hear of lynchings and murders and even more riots, and, well, poll taxes and some of those things that Ben was referring to start to become normal. And it's very disenfranchising to African Americans because of the poll taxes and because literacy requirements to vote. Yeah, this is a struggle that some would say continues to this day. And we certainly are experiencing the ripple effects from even this era.
So we're going to fly right over a lot of different stuff, and we already have flown right over a lot of different stuff, but we move forward to the election of 1876. And at this point, you know, there's still some Reconstruction continuing in South Carolina, Florida, Louisiana. That's going to continue for at least another year or so. But in 1876, even though many individuals have the right to vote, there is a huge push towards intimidating them to not vote. And you can imagine with organizations such as the KKK and just individuals who are not part of that group, but still hatred towards African Americans. There's a whole lot of intimidation that's going and suppressing votes in the majority black counties. And, you know, there's also a lot of ballot stuffing because, hey, if the people behind the elections, if they're not really in favor of a fair election either, then, well, we don't have the technology, which can also be manipulated, that we have today. So anyway, long story short, Rutherford B. Hayes wins the 1876 presidential election. It does get disputed, and we'll talk about that. We have talked about that way in the past, but we'll talk about it again when we do an episode or two on him in the near future. But the Democrats in the South are like, okay, look, we know this thing's disputed. We'll accept the fact that you get elected as long as you get these troops out of our stinking land, get them out of the South. And the North is kind of tired of this whole mess going on in the South. And the whole South is kind of, well, full of people with militias and lots of ammunition that they can throw at the North if things go crazy. So the government says, okay, we'll take our stuff out of the South so that Hayes can move forward and win.
Yeah. And that's where we are going to end this part of the Reconstruction story, but certainly there are other podcasts that deal with the nitty-gritty details of what was involved and some specifics. It's crazy reading. It wasn't that long ago. And again, you can see why we continue to have some of the scars on our national scene because of the issue of enslaving people, really because of the color of their skin.
Yeah, it's terrible and it continues. And we are all about pushing forward and progressing and making sure that everyone has a fair voice. We know that doesn't happen. And we're trying to do what we can do on our end to make that happen.
Yep. Each of us can make a difference.
Hey, if you want to make a little bit of a difference in someone around you's life, just brighten their day up with one of our ugly Christmas sweater t-shirts. Trust me, it's a great gift for the Christmas holiday season. It's also a great gift to yourself if you are really a big fan of Election College. And let's face it, you are. I mean, you're listening to the essentially the credits at the end of the episode. Like, if you stay and watch the credits at the end of a movie, you're a fan. So, thank you.
Ben, you should see the nice smiles that I get when I wear my ugly Christmas sweater t-shirt. People are just more friendly towards me when I wear it.
I believe it.
Honest. And you know what makes you a friend of ours? Well, it's when you chat with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Election College. And when you leave us a rating and review on iTunes by going to electioncollege.com/iTunes or electioncollege.com/review or Googling Election College and iTunes. Wow. It makes us do the happy dance. And really, we do the happy dance. Crazy.
I usually send an animated gift to Jason, but it's close to being a happy dance.
It's the virtual version.
That's right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.